In the studio today, I've got Brian Suter and Craig Stickling. Welcome again, guys.
Hey, thanks.
Always good to be with you, Matt.
And as you know, whenever I have these two brothers in, the topic typically is parenting. And so we're looking forward to the conversation here today, which is going to have to do with family time.
Yeah, I think it does take intentionality when your budget of how much time you get is you've only got 24 hours, yep. And that can go a lot of different directions. And you do have to be intentional to have some family time in there.
You know, kids just want to be around their mom or dad. And there's times when they get maybe a little bit older that maybe that doesn't seem that way. But they really just want to be around us. And so looking at that time from a broader lens of not necessarily a planned event activity, but really how to make use of the time that we do have together just in the normal day-to-day life.
Particularly as children get older and move into that teen stage, they may not want a lot of time with us. But as parents, if we're not intentional about having time with them, we're going to miss opportunities when they may be willing to give us more than two words. And so it requires parents to be available.
Really, when you look at all the research and the surveys, one of the biggest concerns of the adolescent and of the teen is that they don't have enough time with their mom and dad. And so they're really looking for us to fill into them in either in proximity or in intentional things. But it's encouraging that wow, they really do want to be around us, even though maybe they're not exactly showing that.
And from that perspective, just for parents to know that your children need you, it's an important role that God's blessed you with, and that they do need you, and they need you to speak into their lives, and that's, you know, like across the board there, young to old, and that should encourage us as parents.
So what does that time look like?
I think that's going to look different from one family to the next. It's going to vary from person to person for sure. Mm-hmm.
I think it's also good to see time from a different perspective than just the clock, but to also be able to look at what we do as a family, what our mom and dads, what we value, what we prioritize, those are all teaching to our kids as well. And we may not necessarily have intentionalized that as time, but we're also teaching our kids a lesson, kind of like the Deuteronomy verse talks about. And that is encompassed into this area of time with our kids.
So it could look like recreation, but it doesn't have to be recreation.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where even like a lot of research would just say, and people know this, but just time around the supper table is very beneficial for families. It's hard to fight for that, but it's beneficial. And that's not an activity, but just sitting next to each other, even if there's not a lot of communication or a lot of meaningful things going around there, just being around the table together is something important and valuable.
Mm-hmm. We were blessed with some of that time when especially as our kids were young, to really value that time. It kind of evolved as our kids were little, and then as they started to get into adolescence and then even into high school, what that time around the supper table looked like. But we always wanted to make it a time that was fun. We got to tell stories. We got to talk about our day. We got to share different things that we were looking forward to or that had happened, and that we really captured that time to be able to be with each other.
Did each supper time look differently, or was there a little bit of routine with that?
We tried to build into that time, obviously, the meal and the sharing of the meal, but then to have some intentional conversation. And we talked about your day. Yeah. And sometimes we modeled that first. Mom and Dad talked about their day. Hey, here's mm-hmm. what I did. And then we would go around and ask the kids something about their day. What did that look like?
Yeah, and I think those are some great ideas, and not that they have to be all the time, every time, but to build into the family unit these traditions that you guys do together, whether it's, you know, sharing around the supper table what you did, or the high-low, or the highlight and the low-light, or if it's, you know, Saturday afternoon ice cream, or whatever those things are that we know we're going to do together, and it's just a fun time that when your child is 25, 30, and they're going to think about, when I grew up, this is something that was just part of our family fabric and what we did together.
Yeah. Well, Brian, you mentioned tradition.
Sure.
And I think there is a place for tradition within families. I don't think it's uncommon for families to have traditions and for everybody to kind of really like those traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they could be really goofy. But
right.
So speak a little bit more on that concept of tradition.
An example that would probably be in my family growing up is a Sunday afternoon, getting the stir crazy out, popping popcorn in kind of a unique, special way, and then just sitting around in the living room, talking, doing whatever. That was just one of the things that we would commonly do on a Saturday afternoon that became just just fun and expected, and everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Taking advantage of, you know, the evening time after supper and going outside, and maybe it was chasing after fireflies or maybe just trying to throw the ball around or the frisbee around or ride the bikes, but having something that we wanted to do together, time to be able to connect with our kids. And the beauty of that is that they don't have to be big or planned, but just for a child to be very simple. They just love to be able to be around us.
And I think with that, too, even for moms and dads to feel free to invite children into their worlds. Maybe the dad isn't able to be home for supper, but maybe their 5-year-old boy could come ride in the tractor with them. And that could be a family tradition or family time with that particular child that you know, grows memories and connection and experiences together.
Yeah.
I know in a season of our life where the busyness seemed to grow, there was a time that I tried with my daughters to, on a Saturday a month, to say, we're going to go out for breakfast. And they got to pick the place for breakfast, and we would go out for breakfast. And this was just my chance to kind of catch up with their week or their friends or how things were going with them. And it didn't happen always as much as I would like it, but that was something that was a tradition to them, that they would think about, wow, we get to do breakfast, you know, with dad. Mm-hmm. And they look forward to that. And they're in their 20s, and you know what? We'll still do breakfast on Saturdays from time to time. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's been able to continue.
And you build in those moments. You can build some experiences that you share with that child. And I have found that when in those experiences, all you always stumble upon, you don't really try to create them, but maybe you make an experience with a child and then they have that kind of in with you.
Yeah.
And there's something special about that.
No doubt.
It's neat to see sometimes, like, at Menards, you'll see the dad and he's walking through the store and he's got, you know, his 3 little kids behind them
trailing.
And they're holding things and carrying things. And I know that sometimes that's a disaster and it takes, you know, an hour to do what could have taken 15 minutes, but for that moment, those kids were with dad, and they were accomplishing something. And that's a beautiful piece of using time to already do things that we need to get done, but to bringing our kids into that world.
Yeah, and you're doubling up then, right? Those running that errand piece, I think, is a great example.
Mm.
But you're right. You have to adopt the fact that this is a value to have the youngsters along. Mm. And I will get something done in time, hopefully. Mm.
Yeah, and I think most moms are pretty happy too. Anytime the dad takes the kids out to the store for a couple hours, that's win-win.
Yeah,
and I think to that point, sometimes family time doesn't mean every person of the family is there. You know, that it can be dad and the kids, it can be mom and the kids, or so on and so forth. But just taking advantage of those opportunities. Just this past week, we were getting ready for a party, and my wife let our 2 oldest kids help cut out watermelon in the shape of stars. And I was just thinking the whole time, this is ridiculous. Yeah. Like, let's get this done and move on to the next project.
Yeah.
But if you can just step back, enjoy that, it's a fun family time together if dad can keep his cool.
Yeah. What are some of the residuals that kind of happen because of family time? Maybe they're on our radar. Maybe they're like, we want this to happen. But perhaps there's probably some things that are a byproduct that, man, didn't even realize was happening.
Yeah, I think what a great great thing to think through, and just the reality that is, as a 5-year-old or a 15-year-old or whatever watches mom sort through a situation that has come on her radar, what they're learning about God, what they're learning about what's important to mom, and theology and their biblical beliefs come into action in a very real way, and a child, whether 5 or 15, gets to see what it looks like believing in Christ. How does that affect mom in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
Going back to the Deuteronomy verse, it really talks about that picture of loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That is reflected in a Christian's day-to-day walk, not just on Sundays, but in a day-to-day walk, and for our children to be able to observe how we spend our time, how we allocate our time to certain things, really speaks to the truth of that verse.
Yeah, and that can go for, you know, the conversation around the supper table, or what they decide to buy in the grocery store versus, you know, what they're doing in Menards, or how, you know, dad interacts when this person cuts them off as they're driving. You know, those small little moments where the family's together is very impactful in a child's young heart as they think about what does it mean to love the Lord, you know, with all your heart, soul, and mind. And they get to see what that actually looks like.
You know, one thing that I am seeing more and more families do is do service projects together. It might be a mission trip type of large thing or something smaller scale. But there's a really important mind shift going on there that seems to have a great deal of value.
Yeah. What another great example of a family tradition, whether it's, you know, in the fall we help rake the neighbor's leaves, or like you're saying, on a bigger scale, going on a trip together. But yeah, having this mindset as a family that we're here to serve others and we're going to practically live that out, whether it's scooping snow or, you know, helping somebody across the world.
Mm-hmm. There's a piece that sometimes I think in maybe our upbringing, it is so ingrained that we don't necessarily appreciate the profoundness of that. But that is just going to church, honoring that day. That's a beautiful picture of time that is spent together in our own family, but also collectively with the church family.
And really what you're providing there in that case, too, is for the kids to see mom and dad worship, which is a very special thing. And maybe they see that through the week in personal devotion time. But clearly on Sunday, that's I think that speaks volumes to a youngster who knows his dad's pretty big stuff at the business or her mom's pretty big stuff in some other sphere. Mm-hmm. But yet on Sunday, they submit themselves to the Word of God and to fellowship. Is a pretty remarkable sight.
Yeah. Or even just that, you know, us going to church makes Sunday mornings pretty crazy. And mom and dad wouldn't have to do that. And I think it is. It's those little seeds that are getting sown in those moments are you don't always think about.
There were some Sunday mornings, Brian, that we wondered, why were we doing this? Is this even worth it?
Oatmeal. I've never been there, Craig. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oatmeal everywhere, and it's just sometimes a totally. pretty chaotic moment. But what a lesson that we get to share to our kids, that even in the chaos, even in the missed shoes, even in where's this, where's that, that Sundays were still a day that we went to God's house.
What are some things that make this difficult, that we kind of have to overcome a little bit?
I think I looked at something a while ago that said for adults ages like 25 to 55 with children, on average, they're going to have about 2 hours a day where they would be able to be home and there's no other kind of activities going on. And I'd say that's even being generous. But yeah, it just fills up so quick with so many tasks and things to do.
You know, other research is showing that with technology and the availability of so many screens and the technology around that is that on average, kids have 8 hours a day in front of a screen. And so that is definitely something that is vying for that already limited pocket of time, Matt.
Yeah, and even if you think about the implications of that, how that maybe impacts their young hearts and brains on how they interact with people and their ability to interact with people. And that's, you know, one of the primary calls of the gospel is that we would be fishers of men and being able to care about people and love people. And of course, that comes from the Spirit working in us, but absolutely, too, just in having those skills as we interact with people, and that can be hindered that there for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's a challenge. I mean, it's a battleground out there to redeem our time. It is a battle, and obviously Satan does not want families to have time, to make time, to be aware of the time that's wasted or just lost. He does not want us to have time to engage into our kids, to set aside things. And so our challenge is, it's not that we're not going to be busy, but how do we stay busy with the right things?
Yeah. I had an interesting conversation with a coworker back in a previous job, and he was talking about his kids and their activities and that type of thing, and he talked about their youth pastor and these other important people in his kids' life, and I'm all about having important people in your kids' life and having other people speak into it, and we've mentioned that, but it became clear as I was listening to him that he didn't think that he really had the skill set to shape his kids. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so he was kind of like, oh, I'm glad this coach is really good, and I'm glad this youth pastor is really good, and all of that. And a part of me thought, you know, I don't know that he realized it, and I want you to answer this, but doesn't the studies show that the number one influential people in a kid's life is their parents? Good, bad, or whatever. Yeah. You know, we still are very impactful, and we don't necessarily need to outsource.
Right. That. No, I think you're exactly right. Parents should be encouraged that there's something unique there about that relationship that God's put within your child's heart, that they just love you and they care about you and they want to be with you, even if you're not that great. And I mean, I think even in a previous job of my own, working with children who had really been hurt, like their heart was after their biological, their parent, even if they had made some big mistakes, they just loved mom and dad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That should be a great encouragement to us, right?
Right.
When we kind of look in the mirror of the parental failure check list there to say, oh, I just don't measure up. But then to look in the eyes of your little kid and to them, you are it.
And those experiences don't need to be extraordinary.
Yeah.
They're very simple.
It's the small little things. It's not going to Disney World, you know, or, you know, getting everybody together to go canoeing down the Mackinac. Those are great ideas.
Yeah.
But no, it's just the simple, quiet moments of day-to-day life.
Sadly, one of the struggles is that exchange happens in a busy culture, right? We get so busy that we think we have to compensate with just Disney World moments. Okay, that's the time. That's when we get together. You know, that one vacation a year is really where we connect. And in a busyness that we exchange, that seems to be okay. And actually, it's in the day-to-day, as the Deuteronomy verse talked about. You know, our kids are when they wake up in the morning and they come out with their blanket and pillow, you know, at nighttime when they're ready for their prayers or just to snuggle. It's those moments that just really allow us to speak into their hearts.
I've already been convicted when I have begrudgingly engaged in family time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't have time for this. I whatever. Maybe it's tucking a kid into bed or having prayers with him, you know, in my mind or his other places or whatever. And then something comes up later and they comment on how great it was, or they insinuate what that meant to them. I just feel like a heel.
Yeah.
I just feel like, wow, I didn't enjoy that. And it's not a question. It's an admission, right? But
yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, it's so true. It's so true. I think one of the questions that I've been so convicted by in the same way there, Matt, is reading an author, and it was talking about giving his young children a bath, and suddenly it struck him, like, what am I in such a hurry for? Why do I have to get this done? And I think that's such a – whenever I think of that question at bedtime, it's just like, okay – you know, I really don't have anything that important to do. I am just ready to sit down with some quiet.
It's easy to chase down my motives. It's selfishness.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely. That's what it is every single time.
Oh, so frustrating.
I think a great encouragement for maybe we'll just speak to dads here for a moment. We know our wives and moms, they have a gracious role and opportunity that it gives them more proximity time around the kids. But for the dads here to be thinking about that, we know that there's sayings that have been done of the old men on their deathbed, and as they've had a chance to look back over their life, and do they wish they could have spent another X number of Saturdays or hours at the office or in the job, but would they say, I wish I would have taken more time for my kids? And that's something that I think each one of us get a chance to honestly reflect on. And maybe we're not able to free up 8 hours a week, but maybe if we honestly look at our schedule and at our time and to say, okay, Lord, what can I give? Maybe it just starts with a half hour a week, but if I can give a half hour, I'm going to give a half hour.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, and the time is fleeting, and Craig, you can speak to this better than I can, but I, you know, it doesn't take long, and they're halfway out of the house, and then they're three quarters away out of the house, and then they're out of the house, and it's not uncommon to find grandpas that really engage. I've also noticed, and that probably comes a little bit from that, and said, "All right, this is my next go around. I am going to engage in my grandkids." So we're not just talking about family, moms and dads here, but grandmas and grandpas really, can engage this as well.
Grandparenting is a great do-over.
Yeah. you know what, though? I used to ask my students in public school education, I used to ask them every day, or every at the beginning of the school year, who their hero was. And the most repeated hero was Grandma and Grandpa. Hmm. I just found that to be interesting.
They're able to set aside a little bit of that consuming busyness, right? And to be able to be like, when that grandkid knows Grandpa and Grandma shows up, they're for one thing. That's them. Yeah. And boy, that just excites them, doesn't it?
But you'll have to say no to some things if you're going to have time for your family or your kids or your grandkids.
You know, we talked about technology, and sometimes it's easy to point the bad finger. And yet when we look at maximizing our time and speaking into our kids, technology can be also a plus in that way. And to think about sending a text to one of your kids. Okay, on Monday I send a text to this one. On Tuesday I send, and I just give them a special little thought. I'm thinking about you today. I hope you have a good day. I want you to know that I love you. Or to reflect on something that you saw in them, and maybe our conversation, we leave way too early and we don't get to maybe have that face-to-face, but technology allows us to speak into our kids in a very special way.
Yeah, and especially with social media now and all the apps, it is incumbent upon the family to kind of figure out what's the best mode, right, of connection.
To use it as an and.
Yeah.
And it's an and, another way I can communicate with them. And I'll use a text today, you know, and to be able to incorporate that into letting our child know that we are thinking of them.
Well, Craig, and also what you're saying to me right now is that I need to be thinking about what's the best ways that they connect, as opposed to coming on my terms, being thoughtful about what is that venue, what does that look like for them?
Yeah, for sure. And being in that realm, being willing to step into their world a bit and do what is maybe their natural mode of communication or time together, which is most likely outside of mom and dad's comfort zone, and trying to navigate that is hard, but I think you're right, important.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think one thing that seems to be growing, and I might be wrong on this, but as I recall back my growing up, okay, basketball, for example, didn't even come on the scene until fifth and sixth grade, junior high basketball team, right? Everybody kind of came to that first practice with their only experiences just in your front drive, right?
Right.
Now, by fifth and sixth grade, you are way behind the curve if you haven't been playing this game way early, right? So there are tons of things we're participating in, and it's just a real deal, right? And I'm not really trying to make a hard, fast point here. I'm just saying that seems to be the reality. So how do we work through this as families? What are some of the rubrics and metrics that we should be thinking about when we think about activities?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing maybe to start with is just realizing that there is a great deal of pressure to not only get into activities, but to get into them, you know, maybe beyond what generations before did, and that with that, there is going to be some cost. And that's not always to say that it's bad, but just to realize, okay, if we're going to invest that much there, what's the cost going to be with it?
Yeah.
What's the benefit? What will this be in a benefit for our child or our family? And is that cost worth that? If I have one event for one child, but what if I have each child in three events and I have four kids? There's 12 events that are occurring every week. That's a tough thing sometimes to consider.
It definitely eats into this family time, doesn't it?
No question.
It's impactful.
It has a significant impact. And that's where I think asking some of these questions early on, even maybe before you jump in, it can be wise. What are the benefits? What are the costs? You know, if we do this, what are the impact on the other children? And it's hard. Like you said, there's not any hard and fast rules, but it's just important to think through.
I remember reading one author, and he was talking about this issue. And obviously, this depends a lot on our family dynamics and even our kids' interests. But he was pretty pretty protective of the family time. And yet he also acknowledged to have kids in activities is a good thing as well. But he kind of said in his home, he said, every kid gets to pick one thing per semester. Mm-hmm. And so they were able to do one thing, but it wasn't the multiples and multiples. And sometimes that's a challenge to do, especially with kids who have a lot of energy and a lot of maybe talents that you're trying to grow. But it was at least something, Brian, like you talked about. They kind of talked through that and said, okay, and how do we want to approach things here?
So a few questions that I've seen or heard that have been helpful for me as I thought about this topic would be, so how's this actually going to affect our family time if we agree to do this activity or let a child do this activity? And next one would be, how much time is this actually going to take? How will it affect maybe the child's spirituality or their ability to participate in church activities? Another one that you may not think of is this something they can do after high school? So where, you know, you might be able to play tennis after high school, your chances of playing football aren't as great. So just something to think about. And then another one would be just what's the financial commitment or investment here?
Mm-hmm. Those are excellent points just to be thinking about, because everything that we say yes to, is a no to something else, and to be thoughtful about what am I saying no to, as well. And I think some of these points kind of give us some things to think about.
Yeah.
The family activity time, as that grows, you know, there's a great caution that the greatest thing that we're able to do for our kids is to allow our kids to see a healthy marriage and a relationship that is growing with mom and dad and as husband and wife. That's a priority in that. And a caution is when so much activity takes away from even mom and dad's time and relationship together, there's a drain on that we want to make sure we're keeping the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 'Cause when you've got, you know, four different children participating in four different activities, of course, that's going to be a lot of time where everybody's going separate directions. And if that's what you choose to do as a family, you're at least going to have to be very purposeful, like you're talking about, Craig, that mom and dad do have time together so that over the course of the next 10 years, not everybody's kind of drifting apart as they're spending so much time apart.
That's where I think it really calls us to be creative, too, you know, because I can totally see the value in many extracurricular activities in terms of the character, the qualities that a kid learns from doing them. But to take those qualities separate and say, all right, so we do want them to learn respect for authority. We do want them to work hard. We do want them to learn commitment. Mm. Okay, so now what do I have when I package these all together? And what does that look like in a family setting? We can reach those very desirable goals in perhaps a format that is conducive to the family.
Mm-hmm. Develop some of those character skills that you're talking about. We can do them. We can bring those right into our home.
Or suppose families get together with some of those same objectives. You know, how much could we create even in at the family's level? You know, and accomplish even more.
Right.
Of our goals. Mm-hmm. I don't know. All I'm doing is just kind of running with that idea, thinking a little bit about it.
Right. Looking at doing things that everybody can participate in at different age groups. And yeah, absolutely. That makes a great deal of sense. And I think, too, maybe just another point here would just be that it's okay for your child to be involved in an activity. But it doesn't, just because they're on the slow pitch, you know, coach pitch team doesn't necessarily mean they also have to be on the travel team. You know, that activity doesn't have to turn into a year-long activity. And that's another way to just think through what you're going to commit to or not commit to, that there shouldn't necessarily feel pressure that says, okay, if we do this, that means we have to do all of these other things as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm not on a track. Per se.
Yeah. You have options.
We can take control of the track.
Right.
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 We don't have to fall into some track.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's good. As we draw this episode to a close, I'd like to share an observation that someone shared with me. Brian, you had mentioned how family time is a great time to build healthy, proper views of God.
Mm, yeah.
in the minds of our children, that consider what false understanding of God we are positing when we push our children away.
Mm.
You know, when we say, you know, I don't have time.
Sure.
I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Here, take the iPad. Go away.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's one concept of God that we want to get across, we want them to understand that God wants to be with them.
That's right, yeah.
And he receives them joyfully.
Mm.
And what a powerful thing that we have an opportunity to do in family time, but to receive our children.
Yeah, wow, what a blessing. Certainly one that's hard, yeah. And we're not going to do perfectly, but yeah, wow, that's powerful.
But redeems that, I think.
Yeah.
Gives it a larger view,
mm-hmm.
of what we want to do.
Oh, that's
so
good.
Thanks a lot, brothers, for being with us, for your wonderful insights. Thanks, friends, also, for being with us. Goodbye.